Last time I spoke about the effect of fear, what fear does to people. Let me just repeat it again. Unbelief is not neutral. What did I say?
Unbelief is not neutral.
It is a force that actively works to spoil things. It is not just, if I have enough faith, it will work. That is true. Enough faith works. But you also have to reduce the amount of unbelief. It is possible that unbelief is just hanging out there and ruining things. And that's why we're teaching this series, so that we'll learn to fight against unbelief. Last time we saw that Peter, the Lord was present with him. The Lord Jesus was there. And the Lord said to him, come. And he wanted him to walk on water. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And Peter was walking on the waters. But at the point in time, unbelief was stirred up, all right, in him. And that caused him to begin to sink. You will notice that Jesus said specifically that the reason why you are sinking is because you began to doubt. And he said, what was the source of his doubt? It was fear. It was fear. That is, it is not as if, now I'll need to repeat this statement, it's very important. It is not as if men are not supposed to walk on water, and that's why Peter sank. Yes, we know that men are not supposed to walk on water, but a man with the word of God guiding him should walk on water. That's what it just simply means. Are you getting my point there? So the reason why he sank was not because he was just breaking the law of nature. No, the reason why he sank was because he began to fear. It means, therefore, when fear grips you, what is natural will now happen to you. And people will now say, why did it happen? It's because it is natural. But the fact is that that's not why it happened. Why it happened was because fear gripped you. Now, remember, I said something last time, I must repeat it again. If we start believing God, we must continue till the end. Let me say one more time. If you start believing God, you must continue believing till the end. That is the meaning of the word patience. Patience simply means that I started believing and I refuse to stop believing. You know, I always like to help people. You know, I believe in a good physical habit. I believe in watching my weight. I'm sure you believe in it too. Even though you don't believe in it, you hear so much of it in the environment. Whether it makes sense or not, you believe it. But me, I particularly like physical activity. I hate jogging. This is just between you and me. There are things I don't like doing. I don't like jogging. If you see me jogging, I say, I just have to jog. You say, why don't I like jogging? I have this feeling as if I sinned and I'm being punished. Personally, I like going to the gym. I like carrying weights. I like stuff like that. You know, I even have a mini gym in my house. You know, those small contraptions. All right? I like things like that. Now, I'm going somewhere. Some people, when people say what they want to lose weight, I laugh at them. You know why I laugh? Their method for trying to lose weight, I know it won't work. It never works. It never works. What am I talking about? Weight is a habit. What did I call it? Yeah, it's a habit. That's just what it is. So you have to form a new habit. If you want, if somebody say, I want to lose weight. What are you going to do? You now remove their teeth. They won't eat anything for the next 1 month. I never see that. Is that laughing? You know why I laugh? Maybe you remove the wire after a while. Once you remove the wire, what happens? You go back to your normal life. So anything you want to do, there's a reason why I'm talking about this in a matter of prayer. It must be something you can make a habit. Why I don't jog is I know I can't jog all my life. That's just me. I do jog once in a while, but I'm not. Even if I want to go and exercise, personally, I like to walk. All right? I like to do a lot of walking if I can, and then occasionally I break into a run. But this habit of getting up, you run 5 kilometers, I know I can't do it. I can do it too, but I just know I can't sustain it. I'm just going to get angry. Like, who did I shoot? I mean, what? That's just my own attitude. Some people have a different. Some people are compulsive runners. They can run 20 kilometers every day, and they like it. But I like to go to the gym. I like to bench press. I like to, you know, do barbell curls and stuff like that. And I can do that all my life because it's fun. I really find it very, very interesting. I like it. Okay. In the same manner, when it comes to spiritual things, you have to be careful that you do things you can continue doing. Do things you can sustain. Try and create a habit. What matters in life is to create a habit. Create a habit. That's the summary of your life. The kind of habit you are forming. If it is said that, look, I weigh 110 kg, I have to drop down to 90, 20 kg. Fine. You want to lose it in 30 days, you will gain it back in the subsequent 30 days. My advice to people is that check the habit that fits your proposed and desired new weight and check whether you can sustain that habit. If you can't start it, you may not attain the new weight you're looking for the next 1 year. But when you attain it, it's going to be permanent. But if you buy all those funny diet books, what's that one they call Hallelujah Diet? If you don't have the money to do Hallelujah Diet, just forget it, because life is about patience. What did I call it? Patience. Life is about what? Patience. What is patience? It's when I form my faith into a habit. That's what I'm explaining. That's one problem with students who crash before exams. You know what they call crashing? Before exams. It's very bad. A good student, make reading a habit. Semester is starting today. Start reading today. Every evening, you put in 2 extra hours. Do your assignments. Do it on a daily basis. Then if they spring a surprise exam on you, it will make no difference. That's one thing people must understand. You must create a habit in life. And that's what I mean by patience. The Bible says, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why I went into that is this. If you start something you can't sustain, you very likely will tire out before the results come. And then, like we said last time, it's as if you did not do it at all. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you tire out before results come, it's as if you didn't try at all. If you're not going to wait for Samuel, sacrifice your animal on day one. Samuel said to Saul, wait for me 7 days. If you want to wait, make sure you are ready to wait. And that's just my advice for people. So I say, create something that, if you had to do it all your life, all right, some of the exercise regimes, I tell my wife, I said, see, I can't live like this. You know, when I come out of my house, Okwara Square there, you understand? At 7 in the morning, people are still running up and down. I say, at 7 a.m., I'm going to feel jobless. Even if I'm really jobless, I don't like the feeling. Even if I have nothing to do, I say, so for that reason, I don't want to start. But there are things I know I can sustain. So I start that one, and I know anytime I have the opportunity, I'll consider it fun. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. So why I refer to that is because the Bible says that we must be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Patience means that faith that you have started, you carry it until the end. Don't start the faith you cannot handle. Do you get my point? He said, well, what should I do therefore? You build up your faith until something becomes natural and easy for you. That's the aim. It's not just to try and do something that somebody else did to get a result. I want to digress again, and I don't mind digressing. We come here all the time, all right? We'll keep learning. Amen? Uh-huh. That is why, sometimes when I hear some kind of funny stories, give this amount of money so you receive this amount before the end of the year. Listen, you won't get anything. You know, I keep on telling you. Listen, let me just quickly say this. Kingdom World Ministries will receive offerings. And I know many of you here give to Kingdom World Ministries. All right? Okay, so you should understand that I like offerings. If you want to check whether I like it or not, just tax, just come. Give me 5 million and you will know whether I like it or I don't like it. If I come that day and start crying, read your Matthew chapter 1, verse 15, they know I don't like it. But if I come and say, hallelujah, the Lord is good, then you know that the money hits. Do you get my point? It settled the man of God, you know? So, let's just get it clear. I'm trying to emphasize something. So don't think the way I talk, as if this man doesn't like the better thing. I do, all right? I'm serious. If just test me out. Test me out. Just put the 100,000 in an envelope and come and say, Pastor, I want to bless you with it. And be looking at my face. You will know whether I like it or I don't like it. All right? The Lord is good. And why I just went into that is that so you just get it, you understand me very well. But when I say what I say, I like to create with work with the Lord and create balanced Christians. That's my own. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want people who are motivated by temporal gain. I want people who love the Lord, and whatever they do it out of the fact that they have been converted to that state. That's my own. Do you understand? What I'm saying, this is the point I was trying to make, all right? When I started talking about money matters. Any money you can't give as a habit, don't start. That's where I'm going. When they said that, give something that will pay you, don't bother. If it's going to pay you, don't give it. I know I'm alone in this thing. If it will pain you, you won't get anything. If it pains you, you're going to go broke. If as a Christian, your gift is still paining you, you don't have faith. Let me tell you something. I'm talking about unbelief. You know, I tell you, one of many of the things I preach, I know you don't hear it anywhere else. But I will tell you the truth. I won't lie to you. Let me ask you a question. I have children. If one of my children, all right, also fell critically ill, or my wife, and they say, okay, give me your car. I assume that's what it costs, the treatment. I'm trying to talk in natural plane now. Do you think it will pain me when I release the car? Will it pain me? No. Will I go and say, this stupid boy, why are you going sick like this? Because you're sick now, don't lose my car. I won't say that. What I want to know is that, is this going to cure him? They say, yes. You are saying, if I give up this car, this problem is gone. You say, that's all the doctor needs. I'll say, well, this is the car. But just in case it will not be enough, let me go and buy a second one and keep it beside it. Do you get my point? The question is, will it pain me? No one needs to answer me. If it's still paining you, you don't have any faith. I want you to understand that clearly. The Bible says, don't give under compulsion. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. If the cheerfulness is not in it, it's a useless offering. So I tell Christians, give what you can regularly give. Somebody say, go and clear your account and you see a miracle. It's a lie. Listen, I have no problem with clearing your account. Oh, listen, if I want to buy land today in Nigeria, most of us will have to clear account, two of us. So clearing account for things is not an issue. That's not my own. Is that hoping that when I've cleared it once, a sudden breakthrough will come. You cannot clear it with an open mind. You can't clear it with, just the fact that your heart is totally focused on that issue. Then please don't bother. Because you are not going to get anything. So I tell Christians, be converted. Tell your neighbor, be converted. What do I mean by be converted? If there's a project, for example, let's say, let's just ignore my offerings, giving to ministry, all right? There are people who still think that the way to give is to go to church and you drop 100 naira in their offering basket. 29 in the offering basket. For those who are spending dollars, maybe $2, $5. Do you understand? All right? Somebody now says they want to raise a special offering. Say, today, give a special $500. What I believe you should do is, this is what true Christianity is. Convert yourself from the man who thinks the gospel is preached only with $2 or 100 naira offering to somebody who understands that giving a million naira is not a problem once it's the gospel. Do you get my point? So that today, if I have a million and it is necessary, it's something I believe in, I drop a million and I don't bat an eyelid. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't mean that when I was giving that money, it was paining me. Then people now start giving annoying testimonies. When I was giving that offering, it was paining me. It was paining me. But today, when the breakthrough came, if you say that kind of way I am, I get up and walk out. You're not telling me the truth. Let me tell you about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. Now, let me explain what that means. Jesus didn't die for you, and that's the end. He died for you, you understand? And that death is effectual every day. He's still working on that thing till tomorrow. Once I heard Kenneth Copeland say that. He said, Jesus gave his life for you. He said, no. He's giving his life for you. On a daily basis, his life is being given. I'm talking about faith and patience. If you gave an offering last year, you're waiting for the result, and you have not repeated it this year, forget it. It's not coming. And Roma will say, thank you for that thunderous silence. I know I've hit you somewhere. Now, please, what I'm saying is very important too. Because we're talking about what? Unbelief. Many times people use their habits, use their actions to throw themselves into unbelief. That's why one of the things I do as a, and I'd like to just drop this for those who are into ministry, want to help people, or you need people to contribute towards something, all right? Especially spiritual things, so that you help people. In Kingdom World Ministries, as you know, the way we do our own financial policy is that offerings are totally 100% free will, okay? But if you're a co-worker, we have a number of people here, small number of us, that we call ourselves co-workers. If you're a co-worker, your offering is not totally 100% free will. It is free will in you must make a commitment. Are you getting my point? It's part of our rules. If you're a co-worker, the Bible says where a man's heart is, where a man's treasure is, his heart is also. So I believe that your treasure, your money should also be in the place where you say you are working in the ministry. All right? So for that reason, we have a rule amongst ourselves. You must give regularly to the work. It's a law. It's a law. Even though the range is very wide, we take a very low amount as our lower range and a very high amount as our upper range. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. There's no point going to the... But the idea is that anybody can afford it. Just make a commitment. I give it as a rule again at the beginning. This is my concept. This is the reason why I make it a rule for every co-worker. That is part of our rules. You make a commitment at the beginning of the year, and it's for a maximum of 12 months. That is, if you commit at the beginning of this year, say you want to give a certain amount monthly, and we don't check, you don't tell anybody, you determine it within your heart. I don't check how much it is. Nobody knows how much it is. Just a rule. We trust that you are obeying that principle, okay? We just trust it. Now, this is the concept behind it. Why I say 12 months, this is where I started, is so that it will never become grudging. That's the reason. There's no second reason. Do you get my point? That is my reason. It's so that whatever it is you are doing, you can do it cheerfully. Because you know it's just 12 installments. If at the end of the 12th one, you're tired, say you think Pastor Banky is backsliding. There's no bondage. There's no compulsion. So that if maybe by the third month, you say, what this guy is preaching these days? I don't understand though. Say, now only 9 months remain. You will endure it to the end, and you will be saved. But if I make you make an open-ended commitment, all right, for the rest of your life, I've heard pastors do it. I want to call them something and say, Pastor, you can't do that. You are not Jesus Christ. You are transient in the lives of everybody apart from your wife. Even your children, you know you are transient. They will grow and leave you one day. Then they will be phoning you and check how you are doing. That is all. How much more people who come to you to work in the ministry? It's a transient thing, and you must recognize it. One of our brothers said the other day in their church, he wasn't there, somebody told him that they are a big denomination, that they wanted to take communion, and their big boss, the archbishop, all right, or the prelate, whatever title they use in the place, said that if you know you're ever going to leave this church, don't take this communion. It was the leader's meeting. He said if he was there, he won't take it. If I was the right-hand man of that man, I will not take it. Even though I have no plans for going away. This communion is Jesus Christ too. Are you getting my point? It is Jesus Christ. It is not you. Which kind of occultism is that? That if I plan to leave your church, I mustn't take your communion. I know they take. This one is not the blood of Jesus. I know they take. If you tell me if you plan to backslide, don't take. I say, hey. If you want to deny Jesus tomorrow, don't take this communion. They will understand. But if you plan to leave this denomination, I will call you say, come. Even Catholics can't tell me that. And they are supposedly the first church. Even the Catholic church can't tell me that. How much more you that they started a few years ago. Which denomination in Nigeria old? Which one? Is anyone up to 100 years apart from Catholics and Anglicans? If you remove the Orthodox churches, anyone reach 100 years? You that started the other day, you now say I should take communion, I won't go away. If the Pope can't make him take, cannot make me take that communion, how much less you? Forget that joke. The Lord is good. You know, the way we behave sometimes, we Pentecostals, eh? I think we smoke in their head when nobody's looking. We just hide. They will come and people think we're under anointing. They won't know that. There was something we used that's different from anointing. The Lord is good, Joe. But leave me, Joe. I don't know this kind of thing. The way Christians behave sometimes. Very, very annoying. Now, you know, why I went into that? To let you know that I'm talking about this fight against unbelief. All right? I'm using money as that money matter. That's why in Kingdom of Ministry, I tell everybody, it's 12 months. I advise some pastors who listen to me. I say, you want to make people make commitments? Make it 12 months. The reason is because you want them to be free to say no tomorrow. If they are tired, they are no longer under obligation to you. You are helping people. Don't think of yourself. Think of the other people. It's not about you. That's why, so we co-workers here, we gather at the beginning of the year. Everybody, we renew our commitments again. And those who are co-workers, they know. It's just an announcement. Remember, our rule for co-workers in Kingdom World Ministries is that you must give regularly. How much you give is your personal decision, all right? Nobody checks. But you remember to keep this for 12 months. At the end of 12 months, we are back again. Why am I doing all of this? To make sure nobody gives under what? Compulsion. You must never give under compulsion. That is why I disagree till tomorrow. This doctrine of tithing that we preach as Christians. It's compulsion because we threaten people with it. I've been to many churches many times. They say, I've heard this a lot of times. Either I'm directly there or I hear it from other people, you know, say that this was said. If you're a member of this church, if you're not tithing, you know, the blessing of this church can never come upon you. A friend of mine stopped going to the church because of that statement. Another one says that if you're a member of this church, you're not tithing. If you need the church won't be there for you. Yes, no, these are things I practice. You know, I've heard it. It was a church I was in one day. The pastor was explaining that one woman came and she was, you know, things were tough. She needed to talk to the pastor. As soon as she sat down, pastor first brought out the tithe records and checked. Okay? Forget to, you're not up to date too. The woman said, how many months were I miss? The pastor told her, she had money there. She did her in her pocket and quickly paid up so that the man can listen to her. You know why I disagree with it? You are making people give under compulsion. And that is totally unscriptural. In Christian giving, it must be total free will. I do it because I'm stirred up in my spirit by myself to do it. It's not that the devourer will come after you. That is giving under compulsion. You are giving because of fear of the devourer. And the Bible says fear has torment. And I've seen people who are tormented by this tithing matter. Fear has torment. I tell you, listen, one of the ways you fight unbelief is go after correct doctrine. Because all this, these things, they breed fear. They don't breed confidence. Your child is sick. You are checking whether you gave complete. Because they told you that it's a devourer. Once my wife told me a story. I think she was telling me of somebody she heard preaching. The man said they were driving on the road. They had a flat tire. The man said he stopped and told everybody to come down. Is your tithe complete? Is your tithe complete? There were like four in the vehicle. Finally, found that the driver was not a regular tither. So he sacked him on the spot because it is because of him that the tire went down. Listen, we are laughing, but this is a very bad thing. No? Christians, we should stop this nonsense. That's what some of these doctrines breed. It brings fear. It breeds fear. You come home, things are not working well. You are checking whether God is checking the account. He said, what happened? God has sent EFCs after you. You defrauded him. How can you have faith under such circumstances? You can't have. You can't have. You know, I digress into that, trying to explain the practical principle. If you want to give, make sure you are converted into what you are beginning to do. Not an emergency to get an emergency breakthrough. You must be converted. You must be converted. That is what you need. Listen, anything you cannot do, like that's why I made a statement last time. Let me tell you again so that you know I made the statement correctly. I wasn't making a mistake. You gave a big offering last year. You are waiting for the fruit. It hasn't come till now. And since that time, it's 12 months ago, you haven't done it again. That fruit is not coming. Why? You were not converted into that level of giving. It has to be a habit. Whatever you can't make into a habit, don't start it at all. Whatever you cannot make into a habit, don't bother starting. This is how you must learn to give. Any giving you can't forget the next day. You never reach that level. Don't bother. It's not doing you any good. Listen, I've given all kinds of sums, at least for my level. I don't remember. Listen, if I give an offering today, it's a million, and I won't remember tomorrow. It as a rule, it must not disturb my soul. It must not be something I'll be telling God, man, that place is still sore. Say, where you tear that offering from? So God, I better heal and quick. Once it reaches that level, that money is not my level of offering. It's not my level of offering. Any money you have to smart over is not your level of offering. I'm not saying you should stay small. Did I say so? No. You build yourself up. One brother, in fact, I've told this story a number of times. Once he called me, said he was going to send us an offering, came to 40,000 naira. When he sent the offering, it was a million. Later, I told him what happened. He said what happened was that he went for a program. And he heard one particular man of God teach. And when that man finished teaching, he realized that, come on, I can do a million naira offering. And towards kingdom world, he has done it at least 5 times. In fact, since that time, this was a man who used to give us 20,000, 30,000. The first day he gave us a million naira, he never reduced it since that time till now. He converted himself. My alumni fellowship, my brethren, I told them once, we went for convention. And I've told you here before, the way our convention runs, we spend money. People just come in, you're a member, you just sign your name, they are located to a room. We use it, as of today, the best hotel in Benin is what we use. And we close them down essentially. We take every room available. You are on our last night when everybody has come. And we don't charge anybody. You eat till you know, I'm the president, so you know me, I'm fasting, we have issues. So, look. I'm the president. There is a day I said I travel to come and fast. What's wrong with fasting? Denugu? So I'm explaining a principle to you. All right. So what we do is simple. When you come in, so when they give food like this, in fact, as a rule, I eat twice a day there. You understand? After the breakfast, I don't like to eat anything again until very late. Those who can digest food fast, you can continue eating. One day I called one of our brother. Then it was our secretary. I said, oh boy, this meat we now they serve is huge. You know what he told me? He said, he called me Pastor B. He said, Pastor B, once we close, what do we do with the money, with the meat? That we are serving the meat so it can finish. Because you know they buy. Do you get my point? And once the convention is over, he said, what are we going to do with it? Because I wonder, all of you, do you eat like this at home? He said, oh God. So we spend money. God has really, really blessed us. God has helped us. You understand? The way my alumni fellowship run, we're a family. If somebody said that you guys are a family. Now, why I'm telling the story is that one day we finished convention and money was not complete, which had not happened once. Since I took over as president, it hadn't happened. And long before I took over as president, it had not happened. Those are the early days when we're still getting the doctrines correctly. You know? The early days when we say, okay, this is our levy. Once we broke away from levy, we say, brethren, just give as God has blessed you. We broke away from being negative. Start closing in positive regularly. So this one we end. I said, what happened? And they said, maybe brethren didn't finish redeeming their pledges. Maybe. I said, no, this is just not like us. Then finally, the Holy Spirit let me understand what's happening. So I wrote my brethren a letter. I told you about it before here. I called the letter the 100,000 naira limit. And what started it was that one brother, that brother called me one day and said, hey, praise God, this particular brother just paid in 100,000 naira. You understand? That here, he didn't pay his own, because it's free will just come. So he didn't transfer his own money on time. The convention was over. by the time he put in his own. So we're now trying to balance out. So when he told me how much the brother paid, I said, he gave you 100,000 naira 30 years. I called his friend. I said, no wonder we are broke. I told his friend, I said, if your friend is giving 100,000 naira, don't you think there's a problem? He told me, he said, he said, sorry, sir, can I quickly confess something? I said, what is it? He said, I also give 100,000 naira. I said, what? You give me 100,000 naira? I said, drop the phone now. Off to the bank. Go and put more money inside. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Then later I told him that, okay, he has sent some more money. So I wrote my brethren a letter. I said the 100,000 naira limit. And what I was trying to explain to them is I said, in Nigerian standards, 100,000 is big money. It's big money. I said, for that reason, many of us who got blessed beyond the 100,000, once they drop 100,000 naira, they think that they have given money because they are Nigerian. Like an American dropping $1,000. It's big money. I said, but you forget that actually you are richer than that. I said, brethren, you guys are making a mistake. God has blessed you and you still are giving us 100,000 as if it's big money. Forget it's not a big money. It's not big money anymore. You guys travel abroad. How much is your ticket? Some of you take wife and children, two, three children, and you disappear to Dubai for a week for holiday. How much do you spend? Why are you giving me 100,000 naira? Oh, I love my brethren. Instantly, they repented. They call such letters presidential epistles. That's what my friend Pastor Corey will call it. He said, that's a presidential epistle. The following year, which was last year, we spent the highest amount we have ever spent. And by the time we were through, our balance was almost a million naira. Lying down there, nothing to do with it. Because the brethren had woken up. Do you get my point? Why did I tell that story? You saw people became what? Converted. I just charged them and said, listen, you can do better than this. So it's not normal now for me to call brethren. What's going on? Okay, we have three people putting 300,000 and that person put 200. Yeah. It's not most of the money comes from few people. Because that's just the way life is. But many of those people that drop that money, I know them. As they are dropping that one here, they are dropping the same amount somewhere else. That's not even our own. Do you get my point? They go to churches. These are people that bankroll things. That giving is a habit. It's their habit. They're not trying to get an emergency break for anybody. Let me say it to you so that I liberate you. Anyway, don't let greed pursue you. You said you're a thief. That is why, not you, whoever's listening to this. That is why. Listen, it is because you are looking for what you are not entitled to. It says somebody did this one and got 50 million naira. Small boy like you, just yesterday. You want to give offering and get 50 million and go crazy. Look, listen, let God lift you up, step by step. Don't be in a rush. What am I saying to you? Listen, I need to explain this thing. I am not saying you should remain small in your giving. You mustn't. One brother told me, in fact, I need to tell this story so that you understand what I'm saying. That's why I told this one. I wrote to my brother, step up. And they did. That's why I wrote the book, So We Pay For This. The Bible says you must learn how to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. One brother told me once they were doing something in their church. He wanted to put money in. The money he pledged, it was big, but he knew how he was going to do it. But he wasn't doing it for anything. He just wanted, this thing must be done. He was trying to piece money together here and there. I mean, what are you talking about? Have you not? If you have never bought your parents something big and you have any money, you have a problem, all right? So God will solve it for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who have done it, sometimes, don't you realize the thing? It took some planning. It took some effort. You have to work towards it. But doesn't mean you won't do it again. I don't know whether I get my point. What happened that you were converted? I like to give this testimony. The first time I bought my dad passed on now about 8 years ago, all right? When my wife and I said, okay, let us buy this old man a car. It took my 11-month salary working in UNTH. 11 complete months. Was it 11 or 12? Well, almost a whole year. Every single combo, I don't mean that I spent, because the way my work is, you get part of your salary from the university. As a hospital consultant, you get the other part from the hospital. The hospital didn't pay me on time for almost for a whole year after I arrived in Enugu here. By the time they paid the money,
The whole thing I just deposited to my friend who was selling cars. When he finally brought the car, he said the money is not complete. I looked for more, added to it. It didn't pain me. It's not as if it is paining you. People say that if it's not paining you, you are not ready for breakthrough. It's a fat lie. If it's paining you, you have a spiritual problem. If it's paining you, you have a spiritual problem. You don't know how to give. You are not a giver. You will not be blessed. What God loves is a cheerful giver. And for goodness sake, when I bought the car, you know, that time for my dad, I considered it a privilege. I told my wife, we were discussing. I said, some of my friends are building houses for their fathers. I said, I'm even lucky in quotes now. I don't have to do that. My father settled himself along that one, you know, with that one very well, long ago. But I said, his car is old. I know him. He's my dad. I know what he has. I know what he doesn't have. I know he won't have money to change that car ever. And the children are now walking. Why should he be, you know, why should this car be spoiling every day? Did I ever ask God for anything? For what? You get converted. If you have not been converted, don't do what you have not been converted to do. Because after a while, you are going to get weary. Are you getting my point? You are going to get tired and you lose your reward. You will lose it entirely. The Bible says, let's not get tired of doing good, because in due season, we will reap the reward. What is the last line? If we faint not, you do what you can't sustain, you will faint. All this account clearing offering, me, I don't believe in, you know me now, I don't believe, the cleansing is not stressful. If I don't get money, I don't get. Say, if I don't give, God won't bless me. Forget it then. People say, no, you have to go and look for something. Okay, let me not go, no name. One guy, he said, give offering for the sins of three generations. You go in house, so waiting day here for my father's generation. See television, carry him. Then go on, he said, ah, remember my grandfather's generation. See music set, carry him. Which other generation? Maybe come on, trousers, I join. That's rubbish. If Jesus couldn't pay for the sins of three generations, he better come back and die again. I mean, the debt never completes. If Jesus could not pay for the sins of three generations, he had better return. Go back to the cross. We'll wake all those Roman soldiers up again. But you and I know that's not going to happen. Why? Because indeed, his death paid for the sins from the time of Adam. The sins of David, Jesus paid for it. The sins of your grandchildren, he already paid for it. He already did. Oh, I'm talking about, you say, what has this got to do with unbelief? I'm trying to, you know, help you so that you won't step into unbelief. Let me tell you, if you give an offering, you are waiting every day. Has he yielded? Just know you are walking in unbelief. I told you, if you did one last year or 2 years ago, you are still waiting for that one to germinate till now. You are walking in unbelief. In fact, you know, let me help you kill it properly. It's not coming. It's not going to come. Especially when you have not been able to repeat it since that time. It means you are not walking in faith and patience. Patience with God, I told you, you don't say I'm waiting for God. I'm sitting down here. I'm doing nothing. I'm waiting for God. Patience means faith is my habit. That's the meaning of patience. What is the meaning of patience? Say it again. Faith is my habit. Say it one more time. Faith is my habit. That habit is the emphasis there. Faith has to be a habit. It has to be a habit. One of the ways you fight unbelief, in fact, somebody said something about Peter. Let me just quickly tell you. It was Charles Capps. It will help you. He said that he prayed once. This is a narrative he brought up from the prayer. Then he said, told the Lord that, why did Peter go out on the water? He said simply, it is obvious Peter couldn't walk on water. So why did he go on water? He said, the Lord said, he said I should say come. What do you want me to say? Peter said, if it is you. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That Peter said, if it is you, you should say what? Come. And it is me. So I said what? Come. He said, this young man was not ready for walking faith. But it worked. He was able to walk on water. But his personality was not able to look away from the waves. Charles Carp said, what Peter should have done is to stay in the boat. That it was safer. Not because walking on water is bad, but because you can't face these challenges and not run. What should you do? Stay in the boat permanently? No. Stay in the boat, walk with the Lord, and be asking him questions. I'm adding my own words now. The time will come when they blow in your face, you just, my bed, move. That it doesn't move you anymore. Then you will now act on that word that says come. Then you'll be walking. Then when the wave goes, wait, please, I'm busy coming. You know my point? Said, but when you are not developed to look away from the waves, he said, please. That was Charles Carp. He said, don't go there yet. That's what I'm talking about, helping people understand how not to wreck their own faith through unbelief. Sometimes people say they want to obey God. Let me say this again. Unbelief can ruin the effect of your faith. So you must guard against unbelief. You must pray against unbelief. You must work against unbelief. And you must not unnecessarily expose yourself to unbelief. Before you do anything that is unnatural, let me tell you something. You must beef yourself up strong with the word of God that specifically addresses that which is unnatural. You see what I'm saying in a moment. If you just get up and say, the Lord sent me to go and preach in one small town somewhere around here. You have a wife, you have children, they are going to school. Do you understand? You were working somewhere before, you resigned the job, you say, where are you going? You say, I'm going into the jungle to go and preach. Not jungle, just a small town. Now, please, whoever is listening to this, may God grant the person wisdom to balance what I'm about to say so that people don't walk in disobedience and they are not rash in their attempt to obey God. Now, a lot of Christians, I've seen them, they make that mistake. The man wakes up one day and gets up, resigns everything and goes there. And then takes wife and children into that place. Now, I've seen this happen a lot of times, so I want to just address it so as to help people. And trouble starts. They get there, they don't have money, they say, we're believing God. Listen, if you are believing God, and you are really believing God, and that your faith is genuine, God will show up. So if after some time, I can't see God showing up, it's one of two things. Either you are not believing God, you are walking in presumption, because some of the reasons why we disobey God, even though we think we heard his voice, is because fundamentally, the character of godliness and faith is not well formed in us. And what is pushing us is different from the true character of godliness. And that can only be formed by teaching proper instruction with the word of God. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Sometimes people just want to do things to please God. They have not yet realized that it is not necessary. That in Christianity, the first thing is faith. You must accept that Jesus has paid for your sins and is the premise upon which you are going to heaven. Are you getting my point? It is not the fact that you went to the jungle to preach. Unless you accept that one faith, you will go to the jungle preaching in ungodliness. You won't realize it. I don't know whether you caught what I said there. You will get up, you want to strive to work for God. Meanwhile, what is pushing? And you'll be hearing voices, my son, go to the bush. But what is really pushing you is that you say, I must be powerful too in godliness. People like Bishop David Oyedepo, E. Adeboye, all those big men that we know, say they have built mansions in heaven. I must build mansion in heaven too, because heaven is my home. You make such statements, it sounds nice and righteous, but it's actually totally imbalanced. It's not true. Look, Pastor E. Adeboye may have a heart in heaven as we are talking now. All the one you know is that the redeem is big. You don't know whether he's obeying God or disobeying God. There's no way you will know. There's no way you will know. I told you once, I met a man, an elderly man, who has been a Christian for a very long time. He told me, he mentioned the name of one big man in Nigeria. If I mention his name, you will jump. Man of God. He said the day the man started his church, one other more senior, more elderly man of God of those days said to them
that this man has walked out of the plan of God for his life. Yet, see branches everywhere, locally and internationally, shaking places. Yet this old man said, there was an old man then, that time, a real prophet of God. He said, this young man has just walked out of the plan of God for his life. So you don't know. You can't tell. Many of the people that you are seeing, that this man works hard. You know why he works hard? He's afraid to go home. His wife is Jezebel. You see him in the office. I'm telling you, you know, I told that Yoruba man has a saying. They say, if you see a man running, you don't know why he's running. It can be because he's pursuing something, or because something is pursuing him. You just know, all you can say is he's running. And God says, I, the Lord, I check why you are running before I give you pass mark for running. So you can't tell. So sometimes you find a man, let me not lose track. So you find a man, he's working hard. But the premise upon this hard work for God is faulty. It's faulty. He has gone to the jungle to go and preach. Why? He thinks that if I could serve the devil those days, I should start serving God now. And God says, wait. If you serve the devil those days, the solution is we wash it with the blood of Jesus. That one has gone. Don't try and do anything for me now to prove to me that you have repented. I don't need it. Just come to me, accept forgiveness, and get out of here. Say, what should I be doing? What were you doing before? You were working in the university. Go ahead and continue working there. I told this one brother, let me not mention his name. He was a very popular musician in the world. This guy led a riotous life. We know. Finally, he said he gave his life to Christ. He began to preach. The day I heard him preach, I said, this guy is not called. You know a man who's not called. Don't worry. He said, how do you know? I don't know how I know. I just know. So I can't. He says right here, that face is the word of God. I said, come on, class now. Why are you doing all of these things? You think preachers are more spiritual? Why don't you go and join Kirk Franklin and teach Kirk Franklin how to dance? Jesus said, abide in the calling which the Lord called you. That what you were doing when they called you, continue doing it. You were singing and dancing. You've given your life to Christ. And continue singing and dancing. You think singing and dancing is unrighteous? Yeah, next time we see your video, we won't see any naked woman there. Abi? That's all. We see you dancing righteous dance. You know? There's nothing wrong with dancing. Many people have left legitimate things because they think that pastors are the ones serving God. Do you know why I'm here doing what I'm doing? Because if I don't do it, my head will explode. I was born to do this. Are you getting my point? I'm not doing this because I'm trying to get something from God. No, this was what I was born to do. And I know how to do it. I used to tell my wife that, listen, if I wasn't preaching, that is, if I'm not preaching, once I read the Bible, now war. Because revelation is always jumping out. Always jumping, just open one page like this. Boom, two things will come out. I said, sweet, I want to go and preach. I'll be looking for who to preach this thing to. I'm not trying to impress anybody. If you think you will not get to heaven, I say, all the pastors, please. There's no high table in heaven. No. This one we do on the earth. In some churches, they say that their ministers can't eat in public. It's total ungodliness. Are you getting my point? Forget that nonsense. Go for where they say ministers' food must be hidden behind. Why? What are you, spirit? They will be pretending as if they are spirits. You're not a spirit. We know you. They go to you. They use tissue paper. We know. And this one you are doing like say you'll be spirit. I'm not saying you should be going anyhow, eating recklessly. No, you should be a gluten. But you are amongst your brethren. Why can't you eat? You want to create an aura of, you know, as if we are, you know, what somebody called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's what somebody called it. That is, I've not seen proof. That's why I don't quote it. He said that is the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Make it look like you are special. You'll be a man of God. Listen, my friend, we are all men of God. Do you get my point? Once you are a man and you are of God, if you are a woman and you are of God, you are a woman of God. That we are all, forget this thing. Though. When we get to heaven, then they will kill everybody for the same line. He said, excuse me, please, angel, can I talk to you? I was a bishop. You know what the angel will say? Oh, yes, sorry, you're on this line. You should be on the line of stricter judgment. Yeah? Nobody's going to treat you special. Say, you know, I was a bishop. Lie, lie.
They take you one by one. Check, did you do what we told you to do? That is how heaven is. Nobody's going there. If you think you will go there and you see, hey, please, I'm looking for Pastor E. Adeboye. I'm looking for Bishop Okonkwo. I'm looking for name men of God for me. Name men of God. Or I'm even looking for the Pope. See, I'm looking for the last three popes. They will tell you, look back, the day behind. He said, ah, but he was a pope. He said, I told him not to become a reverend father. That is why he's at the back. And you are, what? What? He said, where's Pastor Banky? Pastor Banky, leave him. They'll give you a telescope. You go check for back. But the man was preaching. He said, I know he was preaching. But do you know half of what we told him to say, he didn't say it. He was afraid because offering will go down. He said, Pastor Bank, yes, so. The angels now, so we say, me too, I was disappointed. Not only you. That won't be my portion in Jesus' name, anyway. But no, you know, I needed to use my name so that you know that we're all Christians. Do you get my point? We're all Christians. No. We're all Christians. We're all Christians. So don't even look. I'm not saying you shouldn't respect somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Of course. It's good you respect somebody like me so that my words will be a blessing to you. But that's as far as it goes. Do you get my point? You are serving God also. You are serving God also. You are serving God also. And you'll be judged not according to my works, but according to your own works. You'll be judged according to what God called you to do, not according to what I did. Me, I love every man of God. In fact, if you know me well, I respect men of God. Somebody like Bishop, if he walks in here now and he says, oh, it is well with you, I'm not kidding. I will strip, I know he doesn't need my wristwatch, but I will remove it and say, sir, you can't come in and leave like that. He can get downstairs and attach to his driver, I don't care. Because the man has been a tremendous blessing to me. All right? So, but having said that, I've read enough to know, say, man, when we reach God's side there, every man, nobody special, though. Do you understand? If Peter, after following Jesus Christ, did not do all that God asked him to do, they go kill the guy behind me. All those who call you the first pope, they will be so disappointed when they are in front of you. You go there. No, this is Christianity I'm telling you about. I know why I digress into that, all right? I'm talking about fighting against unbelief. So that man, maybe it is this lack of understanding of what I just explained is the reason why I decided to go to the bush. Or go to a small town, resigned, and he's waiting for God to show up. And God doesn't show up. And God says, so you better go and learn the truth. Maybe if he learns the truth, he will now know that, wait, what I'm doing is unnecessary. Or it may be that it is the thing that he's supposed to do. It is possible. Why I went into that story, I want to talk about unbelief, to be careful. For a man to take such a step, he has to be very, no, when I say very sure now, it's not I have a persuasion, I just have a suspicion in my spirit. No. You must be absolutely certain because the natural order of things is that when a man has four children, he was working regularly somewhere, his wife was doing business somewhere, they go to a new town where they have no income, nothing to start preaching, the natural order of things that they will all go hungry. It is not ungodliness, it is natural. Before you expect things not to work according to what is natural, please. I like what the Bishop Oedipo said once. Such a blessing to me. He said he wanted to be a businessman and sponsor the gospel. He loved the Lord. Then one day, I don't know how he heard it, but he heard the call of God that God said he should go into what you and I call full-time ministry. And then he went and prayed and said, God, now that you said I shouldn't do what I wanted to do, where will my food come from? He prayed until he understood how his food should come. And the Lord said to him expressly, I will cause those who you will bless to return material things to you. He said, is that all? The Lord said, good, fine. So he said, now, any that people listen to me, they must be tremendously blessed. So he focused on that. Are you getting my point? Listen, you have to be careful. You take, because I'm watching my time. Because the Bible said that Abraham contemplated his body. All right, if you read the King James, it did not. What it means is that he said, but yet with respect to the promise of God, it did not waver in unbelief. You must take all these challenges and specifically deal with them with the promise of God and prayer so that you, when it comes, you know what you are going to answer. Otherwise, if you didn't have that, if that man asked my counsel, the hypothetical man I was telling you about, and I told him, listen, wait, okay? It's not to go and preach. First, start preaching weekends. Do you get my point? Yes, leave your wife and children in town here. Go there and be preaching weekends. Friday evening, you've gone. You preach on Sunday evening, and you come back. Why do you want to carry the growing children to that particular place at this particular point in time? That is the natural, sensible thing to do. Before you do the opposite, you must have clear-cut instructions from above. Until you get that, no, you don't. Because you won't say, listen, if you get worried and concerned and begin to fear because of your unbelief, you will sink. Because the fact that God said, come, is no guarantee that you will not sink. That's my emphasis. Jesus said to Peter, physically, come. Peter came. The Lord was looking at him, but the moment he began to look at the hunger on the right, the children sleeping without food, he began to sink. He began to sink. So the question is, why go through that? Unless you have a very good word that says, come. And then you learn to focus on that word. That's the point I'm making. What should such a man do? He just said, okay, I'm going to preach. You people stay behind here. I'm going. If he's not working out, when he gets there, he will know. I've seen people before, they say that the man is doing ministry, ministry is not working. He said it is because his wife is working. That's why the ministry is not moving. So that the wife, we should join the ministry too. So the wife joined, hunger only intensified. Things just got worse. Because you cannot use this human wisdom to... Do you get my point?
Yes.
No, that was just human wisdom. Listen, what was that woman going to do for you that she's not doing currently? You live in the same house. She said, the problem, why anointing is not flowing? You know, sometimes we Christians think that when I talk about human wisdom, I'm talking about human wisdom in their own religion, the harsh dealing of the same one that says fast until your stomach perforates before anointing comes. You know, I've told you it's not necessary. You know, I won't lie to you. Look, listen. If you don't do... Oh, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. I'd have to explain this thing. It is not this your human effort at righteousness that's bringing forth divine anointing. The primary reason why anointing is coming upon your head is, one, you were called to do that thing. That's the primary reason. The second reason is that you are doing it. Do you get my point? It's like practice. Englishman says, practice makes perfect. That a man who practices is the one that becomes perfect. And the same thing, the man who is faithful in using his unction is the one that God pours more unction upon. The focus in increasing your anointing. If you want to increase your anointing, take the one you have now and use it. Do you get my point? Don't go and pray in one corner. Take the one you have now and use it. Make sure it's blessing people. Don't sit at home and say, hey, when the anointing to heal comes, we're going to do a citywide crusade. When we do that crusade, we are going to convert the whole of Enugu. You are still... So you say, what are you doing? I'm waiting for the anointing. Listen, you know, the Holy Spirit has already come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is the one, they say, tarry in Jerusalem before the Holy Spirit came. Ever since the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit is hanging around, looking for who is ready. Do you get my point? Instead of waiting for when the big anointing to heal, to raise the dead will show up, what do you have right now? Say, I have anointing to preach. Look somewhere, corner some two people that can't run away and preach to them. If you bless them, they'll bring a third person. Be blessing those ones. Then announce to them, say, if you are sick, bring the sick. Come. Then lay hands on the sick. It is while you are laying hands on the sick, you know the anointing to heal the sick has come. Not where you are praying. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I am making?
Yes,
Listen, that is how it is. You know, Christians like to punish themselves. And they know they now feel anointed. You say that, look, I came to this pulpit today after a 15-day fast. If you talk like that, I say, look, you won't talk normally because you are hungry. I'm just going to get my Bible and begin to wait. When you begin misjive, I escape because... Once your fast is what you think gives you the authority to talk, it's confusion. It's confusion. If you fasted, why are you telling us? Let us discover it from your unction. If I'm someone you want to pray, say, today is going to be hot. I say, how do you know? Because I have been fasting for 15 days. If you tell me like that, I tell my wife, don't worry. Today is going to be cold. This guy, forget him. He has come with a wrong premise. Are you getting my point? Your hunger has not in any way improved your anointing. If you tell him today is going to be hot, and I say, how do you know? He say, because last week I was in Makurdi. For 4 days I preached this message, and the people were transformed. As soon as we're done, we went to Abakiliki, and I preached for 3 days there, and my God, their lives were not the same. Listen, I have tested this thing. Then I will sit down. Say, bros, carry on. I tell my wife, this is going to be hot. Better get ready. Because this man has been using this thing. And God is going to refill him, I know. That's what I know. Listen, that is what I understand, though. I keep on telling people, Moses, how did he get his anointing? It was by quarreling. They said, go. He said, I know they go. I said, go. I got to go. God said, wait, I'm going to just humble you. God gave him the staff by force. You know that? Well, reason, because God saw the passion of his heart of those days. This was what he was called to do. God had prepared him to be a vessel that could carry it. When the time came, he gave it to him, even though the man was reluctant. He didn't beg for it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I'm trying to see because... I thank God for his word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It happens a lot like that. You know, you want to say something, then other things start coming out of your mouth, and you know you are blessing somebody. So you don't want to stop it. One day I finished preaching, all my messages went one way. I was telling my wife, so just one person that could hear the whole of today's message, even though I didn't plan it like that. You know what she said? And that heaven rejoices if one person is saved. And that, you know, and that the shepherd will leave 99. And go after one. So if you are the one that has carried us again today, God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you very much. We'll still continue fighting unbelief next time. All right? The Lord is good. So anyway, why did I go into all of this? Okay? Just trying to explain that, listen, we don't use our human effort at trying to do something for God to not expose ourselves unnecessarily to unbelief. You understand? Because fear, now back to what I've been trying to discuss since last time, fear has torment. You must tackle your fears. You must not allow fear rise up, because when it rises up, it kills your faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. And when the natural order of things in life are going to produce fear in you, then you must have a specific word from above with which you are tackling it. And I'll talk about it, how to tackle it. But I'm looking at my time. But let's just start it, okay? Just give me like 5 minutes and then I will leave the matter. Okay, I went into all of that and trying to review what we have been saying. The fact that Peter feared and began to sink, and that unbelief can be very, very powerful. But let me just repeat this. I need to repeat this so that I'll connect it. And then let me start to go. I said something at the beginning. Let me just repeat what I said at the beginning. Now, one of the ways to ensure that you are not exposed unnecessarily to unbelief is to make sure that you are able to sustain what you want to do as a habit. You know, that's where I began from. That if you want to give a gigantic offering and you are not converted to that level, you will not get anything out of it. It must be something that you have been converted. Even if you say, okay, it's only once a year I do it, then you know next year I can do it. The following year I can do it. If it's a monthly thing, it's something I can do every month. It's very important. Because once something has become a habit with you, then the fear will not grip your heart. Do you get my point? When you begin to do it. Let me emphasize again, I am not saying remain small. Using this money as an example, I'm not saying remain small. You can get to a level, like one of the things I say, is that if you understand the scriptures very well,
you will know that this issue of I give God my 10%, it's a joke, because if you really want to, read my book, How to Work for God, all right? I describe it in there, that if you really want to give as working for God, there are so many areas you have to give to, and you have to do them consistently. You help the poor, it's working for God. That's what the Bible calls the widows of your household. I described that one there. Who are the widows of your household? These are people, not necessarily physical widows, but people who are naturally connected to you, either because of physical birth, they are your brothers, your cousins, you know, people like that, or people you have a close relationship with, a group of friends you grew up together, maybe in primary school, in secondary school, and God has blessed you to a level now that you can handle things. Your bosom friend, you know he's not lazy, because the Bible does not encourage laziness. You know he's not lazy, he's working hard, things are rough for him. His children are going back to school next term, and there are three of them. The school fees, all right, the school fees is heavy. So what do? You just watch him. No, you can stylishly tell him you are lending him money, even though you don't plan to collect it back, all right? And such monies, try your best not to collect it back, even if he breaks through tomorrow. Just forget it. The idea is that this is my bosom friend. He's in need at this particular point in time, and I have excess. So I give to him. You get my point? And then that's what I mean by widows of your household, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, you know, close friends that who are in need. That's what the Bible calls the widow of your household. I can't teach it in details now. I explained in that my book, Grace to Prosper, and it's also, How to Work for God, and it's also in the book, Grace to Prosper. I explained those things inside there. So you see other things like you have, like I keep on saying, Aliko Dangote may be the richest black man, all right, but he's not going to be the one to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are not aware that he has made a personal commitment to it. So we are not going to look for people like that to give money to the gospel. It is you and I that will still give money to the gospel. You do that also. Do you understand? There are things like that. And don't ever forget, your parents, you must honor your father and your mother. That is just the scripture. You have to. Say, what if they have more money than me? It doesn't matter. Your father must smile one day because you came home. You understand? You've got many things to say. Your presence must be nice. When you are coming, you should bring an aroma that's sweet. I don't mean the expensive perfume. I mean that when you are coming, people should know that something good is coming. You don't have money. Don't you have pineapples? Okay, I'm only in the bush. They have yam there. When you are coming home, bring it. Don't say, my father knows I'm just a copper. That's very irresponsible on your part. They are paying you small alawi. That alawi, cut small. Cut small when you are coming home. All right? What is the thing? Maybe you are coming from near the river. There's fish. All right? Go there. Get, what they call dried fish. Roasted, dried fish. Get it in good quantity. When you come home, let your father see that you brought something. Let your mother see, not as if you're just a dependent population in your head forever. You finish school, they gave you alawi for 1 year. How can you return empty-handed? Wait a minute. Yeah, these are things the Christians don't know. Sometimes, poverty is not an excuse for not giving at all. Most people, they don't know how to plan. That's the issue. Yeah. You are going home after 1 year of youth service. Say, because your father has money. Who's talking about whether he has money or is poor? Poverty is not the reason why we give to parents. Honor is the primary reason. The Bible says a son honors his father. All right? Now, that's another one. So these are the things we do with money. We sponsor the gospel. Very, very important. We help those who are in need. I broke those things down inside that book. Please go and check it out. Now, when you do all of those things, you will find that if you do them regularly, I keep on saying it has to be a habit, you will find out that it is nothing out of order to give away half of your income. In fact, half will go to these things I'm talking about. Though. The reason why a lot of people can't give is because they have budgeted. You know, women are very good with that. Go and buy Mary Kay on credit. Never use pancake that you have not paid for. No, there are things you don't be buying on credit, What the correct word for it? We used to call it pancake. What is that thing? Foundation. And the makeup you haven't paid. There are things you don't buy on credit. You'll be buying makeup on credit. Okay, what will you buy? What will you buy with cash? What? If makeup is credit, then you get a problem. And God says, I should come and solve your problem for you. It is solved in Jesus. Say amen. Say amen on their behalf. I know you guys are not buying. That's the problem with a lot of people. All right? And if you're a man, you are doing that, you need double deliverance. See me after service. your own deliverance is special. You wear this for yourself, paying small, small. After Abba, man. For women, we will understand. Let's just try. Let's understand. But man, any shirt you can't afford, don't buy it. When you enter Ogbeti, there are different sections. There's a section of 5,500 naira shirt that has never been used.
the section, if you want an expensive shirt that is 500 naira, just let a man wear it like a few times and sell it. Who will know the difference? You know, any shirt you wear five times already used, that also. So just go there. You know, but please, these material things must not put you in distress. You don't have money, buy two shirts, white. Don't. Everybody will think that you like white. They won't know that. Those days, my wife said, how come you wear only white? I said, white. I love white. You know the only way I like white? Nobody knows it's the white you wore yesterday. Because it's white. Because, literally, I'm not exaggerating. Many of my suits, they don't come out of the wardrobe for 3 straight months. So I can wear any color now, you know? Anything. But if you don't have that kind of money, you buy only black. If you don't buy black, you're a sinner. It has to be black. Yes, black. I'm telling you the trick so you can give. The reason why the Bible says you should walk is so that you can help people. Paul said, let who that's doing nothing look, make sure he does something with his hands so he can give to those who are in need. A lot of people, we walk, we have money, but we think it's small. Why is it small? We have budgeted everything for ourselves. You buy suit that's twice your monthly income. You are a madman. Iniquity. We should use taser for you, electricity, shock sense. If you can't buy suit, buy waistcoat. No, brethren, these are the things I did though. White shirt, waistcoat, and I preached and people were blessed. Actually, a man, your suit is twice. Why? You want to show off to somebody. May a thief stop you, beat you before collecting it. Because some of these suits are expensive, I know. I want to buy a decent Italian suit, it's 60,000 naira. And that's not an expensive one, it's decent. If it's an Armani starts from $1,000 and above. A decent Italian suit. So why should you wear it? When there are Chinese suit, Hong Kong suit, Abba suit, Enugu suit, Onitsha suit. Why are you bothering yourself? And what I like is just look for brother. Oh God, I like suits. You know, suit, no matter if it's a good quality one, even they've worn a number of times, it's still looking like. Just look for one bro will be your size. So, oh boy, you don't wear this suit since last day. How far? You never listen to say Pastor Bank say he was glean. Principal, you don't wear your portion. Give me the rest. It's true. You know why I'm saying all of this? These are the ways by which you can have to give. Do you get my point? Yes, look, this matter is a matter of faith. There's no reason why you should spend all your money on yourself unless you're totally poor. That is, all that money can only buy food. Even that food self, you must share with somebody. Life couldn't just be revolving around you like that. It's not right. Somebody should eat your thing. If you're okay, say the only credit that you buy, okay, buy two portions on credit. Give half portion out and be paying both of them, servicing both debts. I'm very serious about it. The reason why a lot of people can't give is that they have budgeted themselves in such a manner that they have nothing left over. They've bought clothes on credit, bought jewelry on credit, you understand? So even some people, they will buy cars they can't afford. You don't have to own a car. If your car is not yielding you money, you don't have to own it. If you can't afford it. This is Nigeria, this is not America. Here, whether you have car or not, there are so many means of transportation. You say, you know, some people, they say, yeah, you know, we are building, so they can't give money again. You are buying a car, you can't give money again. Yeah, it's sinner. This is how sinners behave. People that God bless, they don't behave like that. I hope you're getting my point. If your brothers are supposed to go to school, go and pay fees, legitimate fees, they want to write projects, and you can't give them money because you want to buy a car, I warned you ahead, though, on what will happen to that car. You know, I warned you now. I won't say more than that. Because that car, if that boy doesn't graduate, that car will not travel. And it's not the devil. I've told you, the devil can't afflict you, a child of God. Say amen. It is God himself that sent an angel. Said, that my son, teach him small lessons. So angel will say, yes, sir. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. That's what we're discussing. Let's make the doing of good a habit. Are you getting my point? Let's make walking by faith a habit.
and God will bless you abundantly. Amen. Rise your feet quickly. You're already blessed anyway. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. Declare, say in the name of Jesus, I am already blessed. Say like you believe it. Say in the name of Jesus, I am already blessed. The blessing of God is upon me. I walk by faith. I walk by the faith of Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Say, this is the victory I have over the world. It's my faith. I trust in the word of God. I am not guided by the things of this world. I am not guided by the standards of this age. I am moved by the word of God alone. Say it, I am an overcomer. I do not walk according to fear. I walk because I'm an overcomer. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome sickness. In Christ Jesus, I have overcome death. In Christ Jesus, I have overcome poverty. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome sin. Now listen to this. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome selfishness. I don't live for myself alone. My life is a gift. A gift to the people around me. A gift to the body of Christ. A gift to this world. I am a gift to this generation. Therefore, I'm being poured out for this generation. I don't live for myself alone. But because of my faith in Christ Jesus, I live to be of service to people. I live to bring forth the love of God to people. And for that reason, I know I have overcome. Because my natural self died at the cross. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Therefore, sickness has left me. Therefore, failure has left me. Therefore, I have been delivered from premature death. Therefore, I have been delivered from every curse. Because the natural man that was cursed, he died at the cross of Christ. Oh, say that again. Say, my natural man died at the cross of Christ. Therefore, there's no curse in my life. There is just the blessing of Abraham. There is just the blessing of Abraham. Declare it loud. Say, I have been blessed with every kind of blessing. Every kind of blessing. I have been blessed with it. My blessing is not determined by surrounding circumstances. So wherever I am, I will prosper. In Nigeria, I will prosper. If I'm in Ghana, I will prosper. If I'm in Malawi, I will prosper. If I'm in South Africa, I will prosper. If I'm in the United States, I will prosper. If I'm in Australia, I will prosper. Wherever I am, even if it's a desert, it will blossom for my sake. Because the blessing of God is upon me. Let's declare this again. Say, I didn't work for that blessing. Jesus died to buy it for me. By faith, I receive it. It's not by my own works of righteousness. It is just by my faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I do not doubt. I do not walk in fear. I am not afraid that I have not done something to get this thing. I know that Jesus did something for me. So every blessing of God is my own. Say, prosperity is my own. Not because I give, but because Jesus died. Oh, let's say it again. Say, I know prosperity is my own. Not because of my own works, but because Jesus died. When I pray, I pray only in the name of Jesus. I don't pray in the power of my good works. I don't say to God, see what I have done. I just pray in the name of Jesus. When I say the name of Jesus, I am saying Jesus paid. When I say the name of Jesus, I'm saying God promised. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying all the promises are now mine in the new covenant. And on that basis, I receive everything that I need. Now, let's say this just for a few minutes and we're out of here. Say, whatever I do,
I do by faith.
If I give,
it is because I have faith.
If I walk in righteousness,
it is because my faith says I am righteous.
So I walk according to the righteousness of God.
When I give,
it's because I know I have prospered.
It is because I know I am a giver.
Now listen to this. Say, I'm not a giver because I give.
But I give because I'm a giver.
I have been converted to being a giver.
Faith makes me a giver.
Because I'm not afraid of tomorrow.
Therefore, my tomorrow is bright.
It is held by faith.
It is held by faith.
And there is no unbelief in it.
Father, I give you thanks.
Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Quickly, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Quickly bless somebody on your left. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless another person. All right, cheer up, brethren.